Mark chapter 4, and it's the start of kind of a growing season. A lot of times I take a bit of time and talk about it from a spiritual perspective, and I want to do that again. How many of you got your gardens in? How many of you are not ever going to put them in? How many of you can pay somebody else to do it? Or you just go to the grocery store and let Costco do it or whatever. All right, well, regardless. We live in an agrarian culture here. Our economy is sustained in this area, by and large, through an agrarian culture. So I think it's something we all get where we live. It says here in verse 26 of Mark chapter 4, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." It was interesting when we were in Bulgaria on this trip, I pointed out to the guys how there was a field that was being sowed by people, not in a tractor. The ground was worked up. Now, we're not talking a big garden. We're talking probably, it was probably 25 acres that was being sowed by hand. And I pulled over to the side of the road and I said, "Now, I really want you to look at how they're doing this, because it's pretty cool. I've got a little sower that goes across my, it goes across here, and it's a big canvas bag deal, right? Some of you have never seen anything like that before. That's cool. But I just turn a crank right here, fill this up with about, I can put about, I don't know, 20 pounds of seed in it. I can just turn a crank and walk. And so alfalfa seed, grass seed, whatever. And anyhow, these ladies, and it was all ladies that were in the field, and they were just kind of in line. And they all had, they didn't have a turning crank deal, but they all had a big canvas bag around their shoulder, and with their left hand, they would sow the seed. So I stopped. I said, "Now just look at the distribution of the seed." It wasn't coming out in clumps, you know, whatever. It was, I said, "Now this field here, what's really cool is Clint and I will be back sometime this summer, and I'm going to drive by that field." Because I pointed out to him, I said, "You know, now that looks primitive, and it looks like, you know, whatever." But anyhow, I thought of that when I saw this. But it'll be awesomely planted. It'll be well distributed. It'll be just as good, if not better, than mechanical. It says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." So right there is a clue to think about how God, when it says the kingdom of God, so think about the economy of heaven, kind of how it runs, if you could think of it that way. The kingdom of God is as if. So it's not painting a picture of what the kingdom of God looks like, but it's painting a picture of how the kingdom of God operates. Okay? "Scatter seed on the ground, should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how." Now, science tells us how it takes place, but they, you know, I don't even know if the average scientist that could explain the process scientifically really could sit down and say, "I've got this all figured out, and can we duplicate, can we make all the components and make it happen?" And everybody would go, "No, we can't." So it's pretty incredible we can put a seed in the ground and it, you know, does its deal. So that's why Jesus said we don't know how. In other words, we don't fully get all the ins and outs of how that happens. "For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade," everybody say, "first the blade." How many of you know when a kernel of corn is planted in the ground, a corn cob doesn't come out ready to harvest, right? So if you don't mind writing in your Bible, or beside verse 28, just write down that process. God's a God of process. How many of you know God's not haphazard? He's not chaotic in what he does. He isn't, on one day, off the next day. Oh, worked one day. Oh, doesn't work the next day. "First the blade, then the head, and that the full grain of the head." After that, sorry, "the full grain of the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Let's just stop with those few verses for just a moment to just, I just want to paint a picture. I'm going to talk about over the next couple Wednesday nights, I'm going to talk about the law of sowing and reaping, or the law of, you know, the law of Genesis becomes a part of it. How many of you know apricots produce apricots? Cows produce cows. Sheep produce sheep, right? But the law of sowing and reaping is how the kingdom of God operates. So if you think of it that way, then it can make us become more purposeful in what we're planting. And what we plant is based upon what we want to reap, right? If I want to reap barley, I need to make sure that I plant barley. If I want to reap cabbage, I need to make sure I plant cabbage. I can't plant some things and honestly expect something else, right? But don't we as Christians do that? We can go all week. This is just from a, it's only to make a point. We can go all week sowing or planting negativity and then be mad at God because we didn't get a harvest of positive things, right? Or we can go all week and be really selfish, plant those seeds of selfishness, and then be aggravated when people don't give anything to us. Right? Give love or time or whatever it may be. Come on, are us Christians ever guilty of stuff like that? Can I meddle for just a little bit? We can't plant Twinkies and Dr. Pepper day in and day out and reap health. Is that fair to say? We just can't. You know, we can't have a diet of it. And then come to a place in life where our body starts to fall apart and we look at God and go, why did you do this to me? Or some would say, it's kind of interesting how there's shades. There's thinking of shades of gray. It's like, I've never seen that movie and I won't. But anyhow, how in the body of Christ, well, God doesn't do it. But then we think it's a lot more spiritual to say, but God does allow it. So we can plant. I've said, every pastor has said at the bedside of somebody who sowed cigarettes to their lungs. Now all of a sudden they have lung cancer. And they're absolutely blown away that God would either A, do this to them, or B, why would God allow this to happen to me? Am I right? And, you know, all of us have to just hang our head and nod yes, whether we agree with it or not, that to some degree we have planted some things and expected something else and have been disappointed when we didn't get it. Isn't that right? The next thing that I want to point out is that faith for me is verse 27. I don't fully, you know, I could teach in a classroom setting how faith works. But it could only be to the degree that I could say, you know, put this seed in the ground and water it and it'll grow. But the real minutia, the real detail of what it is, I don't fully get. I don't fully get how all of the spiritual life actually works. I'm just, in other words, I'm absolutely comfortable with the mystery that it does work. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then verse 28 is something I think that we also struggle with as just people, you know, Christian people, is we struggle with the fact that it's a process. Different crops have different growing season from the time that's planted to the time it's harvested. Different varieties of the same crop have different lengths, right? Barley, for instance, you can plant 90-day barley. You can plant 115-day barley. You can plant all different sorts of things. But the truth is that have you ever been frustrated that you've planted and you didn't reap right away? Have we, any of us, ever done this? Well, I prayed about it and nothing happened. Okay, well, how long have you waited? Well, 2 days. Okay, now listen, some things can take place in 2 days, maybe. And listen, God can just flat out do a miracle. Okay, so we don't negate that at all. But how many of you know the most of life? In fact, let me just say this. If you're having to have a miracle all the time in your life, you're doing something wrong. If God just has to bail you out every time, maybe we're not doing life quite right. I'm with you, Pastor. Am I right or wrong? Seriously, if every time we go to God, it's God, if you don't come through, I'm going under, and da da da. Then maybe if we need a financial miracle every week, we're not doing something right in regards to our finances. Does that make sense? If we need healing, every time we turn around, maybe we ought to look at something else. I don't know. But this next part speaks about the process. The earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. In other words, there's a systematic process in place. Now, that systematic process in place, sometimes I just think for us in the charismatic full gospel world, whenever we hear the word system, we think dead, dry, you know, whatever. But I encourage us not to look at things that way. You can look at it that way and think, well, we're not into that. We're not into systems. But, you know, the kingdom of God is systematic. The kingdom of God is not chaotic. And thank God it's systematic. Amen. In fact, in your body, you have cells that are systematic. Cancer's defined as chaotic cells that are undifferentiated, meaning they're not doing a normal, systematic purpose. So thank God that he's systematic. He's not chaotic. So what we need to look at there is, are we prepared for the process to take place? Then says, when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This aspect of sowing and reaping, I'm not certain that we spend a whole lot of time on. But there's a window. Everybody say window. There's a window when something's ready. And you get before that window, you're too early. You get past the window, you're too late. Amen. So there's a window. And I wonder sometimes, do we just plant and then forget about it? I think we need to be more purposeful in the entire process, from the planting all the way to the reaping. Do you remember the 10 people that Jesus healed? How many of them came back? One. Now, it's a different contextual story, but I think maybe part of the process of reaping is finishing it off by giving glory where glory's due, giving praise where praise is due, as opposed to we just got it and we just go on. Does that make sense? In other words, that we just really stop and thank God. I think that's part of, for me, that's part of the reaping process. And then along the way, it's important to find out how, because it's a process, it's important to find out how things are going. On one of our alfalfa fields, well, on all of our alfalfa fields this year, we were late in getting our water going as quickly as I'd have liked. Of course, anybody that irrigates probably is never pleased in terms of they want to get it as early as possible. Quicker that you can get the water to it, the better, okay? And I actually went and looked back at my records from last year, and I was 2 days late. Big picture, 2 days isn't going to do anything. However, it's important that once you plant whatever it is that you're looking to reap, that you pay attention to and the process involves weeding, caring, and whatever, but to then look at what's growing. And if we don't pay attention to what's growing, we won't know where we are in the process. Okay? And alfalfa, what color is alfalfa? Do you think there's shades of green? Right? There are. There's shades of green. And do you know what? Those shades of green will tell you the health of your plant. What you want with alfalfa is this dark, rich, just, oh. If it's yellow, by and large, it could be getting a little bit too much water. Maybe, okay? Kind of hard to do that in southern Idaho, but you definitely can, right? I actually, the first year we bought our farm, had somebody irrigate for me for a bit, and I was away for an extended amount of time. I came back, I looked out in the field, and I went, there's something wrong. Everything okay? Yeah, everything's good. I said, no, something's wrong. He goes, well, how can you tell? Took him up to the top of the farm. I looked down. I said, see, there's a strip right there. I bet you there's a water leak up there. And it had cement ditches, Sure enough, when we went right up there, it had been leaking for however long. You could tell because the color of the plant was beginning to change. If alfalfa is getting too little water, eventually it'll turn a silver green. Because it's, you can look at it and go, oops, not doing good. So let me just ask this. What are you consciously, on purpose, what have you or about to consciously, on purpose, plant in your life right now? How well could you articulate your spiritual garden? I recognize that deer in the headlights look. Right? Seriously. So let me just ask a question. Do you think we should be able to articulate? I think we should. Oh, yeah, you could maybe get too, you know, analytical about it. But are there things in your life that you could very articulately, at least in a broad perspective, say, you know what, I've planted this and I'm looking forward to reaping this. And you know what, it's going good. And if we can't do that, I just want to encourage us. Maybe we ought to start paying attention and be more purposeful in things that we plant in our lives. Because you know what? Even if we don't plant things, there's other things that can grow. Right? Everybody say weeds. Right. You didn't plant those weeds in your garden. Hopefully not. You know, and unless you start out with sterile soil, you can even start out with, in the greenhouse that we had, I grew about, I don't know, 6,000 or 9,000 tomato plants every year for our community, and I don't know, 6,000 pepper plants, and you know, kind of all the sort of plants. And we sterilized our soil. And you know what's amazing? I'd sterilize, you know, 2 or 3 ton of soil, and we'd do it with heat. And out there in eastern Colorado, even in a greenhouse, guess what would grow in some of that sterilized soil? Weeds. Very little. But where did they come from? Oh, you know, blow through the glass, through the cracks in the, you know, whatever. But guess what they get there? Listen, if we're not purposeful in our lives with wanting to reap what we want to reap or reap what we need to reap. You know, sometimes if you want to reap some things in health, if you're in a state that you got to get better physically, how many of you know you got to be real purposeful about what you plant and go, man, okay, we're doing good. We're doing good. We're getting closer. I can tell there's a difference. There's, you know, whatever. Spiritually, though, in our families, let's say within your marriage, if you're married, or maybe a relationship with a child, or from a parent to a child, or a child to a parent. What are you sowing in that, and where are you on the continuum of the process? Because it is a process. I think all too often we sow things, forget about it. Other things come in. Jesus even talked about that. Isn't that right? The sower sows the word. Other things can come in. We can get distracted. We can do whatever. And what we sowed maybe started to grow. But if we don't tend to it and really realize where we are in the process, it could even produce a harvest. But listen, remember Jesus said, when it's ready, quickly he comes in to reap the harvest. I think sometimes God's wanted to do some cool things in our lives, and we've planted some things. Maybe we were purposeful, but because we forgot, because we didn't pay attention, because, you know, whatever, cares of life, whatever it may be. I know what it is to get busy doing life, all of that. You know, sometimes those things can, the harvest is right there for us to take, grab it, own it, use it, utilize it in our life, but we miss the window. We went past the window. We didn't know it was there. And now it's spoiled. It's now too late. So does it mean that it's the cool thing about God? It's not too late to plant another part, to plant for another harvest. Amen. How many of you know, as long as we're living, we can plant to harvest. We can plant to reap things. And so verse 30, let's go on. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Jesus taught this way a lot. He would finish the story, and then he'd tell the story again with a little different way. With what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when it's sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Have you ever seen a mustard seed, by the way? If you haven't, look at some.
They're really, 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 really tiny.
When it's sown on the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Have you ever seen a mustard plant in its fullest? Look it up. It's kind of cool. So here's the thing that he's just painting about the kingdom of God. Now this deal, the first part of the story, 26, 27, 28, and 29, here's what I think. I could be wrong, but here's what I think. I think Jesus is highlighting what we do. I think the next part of this story, verses 30, 31, and 32, tells us about the rich soil of the kingdom of God. Amen? Both things, you know, both have to plant, but I just think there's a highlight. I think he wants us to understand that what you know, if we're going to engage in the process of sowing and reaping, we have to realize it's a harvest. It doesn't happen overnight, right? And different things take a different amount of time. In fact, the story that a lot of times people go to in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 38, where it talks about giving. Given, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give back into your bosom, some 100, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold, right? I've heard a lot of people teach that about that. That's a maturity level of growth, 30, 60, 100. Could be. And certainly not going to say that's wrong. But I point out and say that's just different types of harvest. Amen? An apple seed, do you think an apple seed outproduces a kernel of corn? It does. Volumes. One apple seed planted in the ground, when you have a mature apple tree that produces copious amounts of apples that have copious amounts of seeds. Are you with me? Versus, how about a radish? Now, if you let a radish plant go to seed, you know, it's whatever. But if you plant a radish for whatever, guess what it is? It's kind of a one-to-one ratio. Isn't that right? Plant a spinach seed, guess what? You can harvest that spinach, get many leaves off of it throughout its growing time. So I think that the 30, 60, 100 for me, I've always understood that to mean just different types of harvest. It's not about somebody, you know, for me. It could be. I understand the deal, but I think a lot of people find themselves in bondage. They get in bondage and feel guilty. Well, I'm only at, you know, I'm not at the 100-fold deal yet. And I just think, I just want to tell some people as well, not all things produce 100-fold, but all things in God do produce. Does that make sense? And so anyhow, in the next few weeks, we're just going to talk about this a little bit further. And what I just want to encourage us on is that, go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll close with this. If you're taking notes, here would be the first point that I want to talk about in this, is that the concentration, the focus for planting anything, I think should always be on the end result. Amen? Of what it is going to produce. Not on the process. Let's understand there's a process. Let's understand that the process isn't going to always be the funnest thing. It's not going to be the funnest thing in terms of just waiting. It's not going to be the funnest thing in terms of, if you liken it to a garden, weeding. How many of you know, go away on vacation for 2 weeks in your wonderful garden that's been watered and come back and see how much you love that garden, right? Just in terms of weeds grow well, and so we got to spend a little bit of time to get it back in shape. So the process isn't always just the most fun thing. I think we can make the process joyful. I think all the while it's growing, I think we can, okay, in those unfun times, I still think it can be fun because we keep our eyes on the harvest. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, seeing that we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside the sin, let's lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Keeping our eyes on the harvest. That's a powerful scripture for me. Because do you think when Jesus looked at redemption, the process of redemption, how many of you know the Son of God did need to be incarnate
in the flesh, right? He did need to come and be born. He did need to grow up. He did need to lead a sinless life. He did need to overcome temptation. And he did need to go through what he went through. Now, how many of you know if Jesus would have just concentrated on that? I don't know about you, but that just wouldn't be fun. It's like, man, boy, I'm looking forward to dying on the cross. Man, that's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to being rejected. Boy, that's going to be a blast. I'm looking for, no. Who for the joy that was set before him. What do you think that joy that was set before him was? Fellowship with God. God would have his family back in a simple way. The middle wall of partition, which that partition was what? Sin, would be broken down, and that now all of a sudden, God would have fellowship with his highest creation once again. I think that's the joy that was set before him. In other words, that's where Jesus kept his eyes. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The idea is that we're to look unto Jesus. In other words, if you put it in this, you know, harvest realm, he's our harvest. Does that make sense? So all that we do unto the Lord, all the things that we plant and all that sort of stuff. And so this is what I just want to throw out if you're taking notes. We'll have other points as we go on. But you got to keep your eye on the harvest, because sometimes the heat of the day, the work of the day, can become overwhelming if that's the only place we look. Does that make sense? So I just want to encourage you on Wednesday nights for the next little bit, let's be thinking about your spiritual garden. How purposeful have you been, could you be, in planting so that you can reap things in your life that are necessary or that are desirable? Amen? The excitement is just overwhelming. Look at it in a marriage. We've been married for 33 years. I still want a better marriage. She wants a better marriage. What are we doing? What are we sowing to reap that? I can't sow grunts, right, and expect to reap a healthy communication life. I just can't. Well, I don't like to talk. Well, okay, get over it. If you want to reap, if you want to have great communication, guess what? You're going to have to flap. You're going to have to open your mouth and talk. Well, it's just not me. Okay, that's fine. If that's where you want to be, that's fine. But just don't expect to reap something unless you plant for it. Amen? Parents, if we don't have a good relationship with our children, then maybe we need to plant some things that can reap that. Children, if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, maybe you need to plant some things so that you can reap that. And then be purposeful in the process, because it takes a lot to have healthy plants. Amen? Is that good? Hey, I know this isn't heavy revelation stuff, but you know what? It's just good meat and potatoes that we need to really think about where we are. Amen? Cool. Let's all stand up.